Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light and want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Dzogchen count is called Red Electric Earth, and it is the third day of the Blue Eagle Wave Spell, and it is Crystal Moon Day 21, and that means that we have concluded the third week in the west of the Crystal Moon. Every moon is 28 days long, and there are 13 of them in a year. Natural time year begins on July 26th, not January 1st. So we are really coming towards the conclusion of our year. It's 5 weeks away. And each 28-day moon has a week segment in one of the four directions of the medicine wheel. So that's pretty visual, and in order to make it easier to interpret, let me say that if you picture the grid of 28 days as a calendar month, think of February. It's very easy, right? Because if we look at the Gregorian calendar pages, there's usually like half a week at the beginning or the end, or some kind of doubling where the squares are split into two to represent day 30, 31, etc. But if you just think of a 28-day grid, it's 4 weeks of 7 days each neatly. And that's how every moon of our year here in natural time is. And then each of those weeks is colored one of the four cardinal directions of the Mayan medicine wheel. So the east is red. It's our first stage starting in the east. The first week is red, and it is about initiation. And the second week is north. It's white, and it's about purification. And the third week is in the west. It's blue, and it's about transformation. And then the fourth week is yellow. It's in the south, and it's about ripening. So I will speak a bit about ripening when we come towards the close of our podcast time. And I just would say, I would reflect that this last week is on the theme of transformation. Generally, it's pretty palpable that something has shifted. Something will shift. Something will feel like a tidal surge. There was a pretty big moon right there in the middle of it. And that pulls at us gravitationally, us liquid creatures, human beings, mostly water in our composition. We're going to be pulled tidally, which is one of the tenets of natural time. It's not just about following Mayan day signs. It's not just about having an alternative calendar. It's about finding a way to be more nature-oriented in everything we do. And if our calendar is more nature-oriented or calling on major archetypes that are not man-made, but are instead functions of the most core organic concepts of our everyday existence, then we can, from there, sort of springboard or by osmosis, consider nature and all its influences and elements as we move throughout our day. Basically, it's just a dumbing down of technology. Of course, we're going to experience modernism, but it's an invitation and an assertion that there is something so pure and hearty, fills our heart, makes us strong about observing nature in its elemental power and coordinating ourselves with that, aligning it. And so that means that this last week of transformation in our own lives might have had instances or indications of a big surge of change, emotional reactivity or responsiveness, just emotions on high at different points. And finally, that we went into a place maybe that we would call our darkness. It could be larger than ourselves, but we took ourselves into the falling night sky. That's what the West represents. That's why I mention it, that we get the color blue because the sky is turning into a night sky from sunset onward, and it becomes richly dark, and there's less to see. There is more like attention to the sparks of light that are more rare, harder to find. But we put our attention on that, as well as just let ourselves be immersed in the shadow of night. And this is the dreamscape. You know, part of the shadow of night is not being up all night, but it's allowing our dreaming reality, our surreality of dreams, to have its voice in our lives, its influence, its adventure. And then there is something in the quality of dreaming, even if it's, you know, brightly lit in our dreamscape, that imitates what it's like to have just the stars and the moon phases and the planets and the sea of dark blue, almost black. So all of that poetic description, which is authentic for me, I love thinking about things like that. And so thanks for listening. That's what that last week was in some way. And then, you know, it's like if you were friends with me and we could talk about the specifics, I would say many more things like, oh, yeah, I mean, this happened. And that was sort of the indication of how complex the transformation was for me. But I'm speaking more in generalities, and then I'm comfortable talking about nature as I understand it or have experienced it in my life versus trying to make a lot of augury or assumptions about feeling states you've been in. Hopefully you had a feeling of transformation, and I wish I could find a good synonym for that. It's a little heavy of a word for a 1 week experience, but what I want to call it is just the shift from something being purified by spirit in the north, the spirits, our own spirits, to becoming physical in the next week, something we can point to and manifest. That transformation is simply when something moves from the quality of being, you know, an essence to an actuality, and we kind of have to birth that through ourselves and feel the feelings that come with that kind of remarkable alchemy. So let me make sure that I'm much more factual here on in. That was a bit of a reverie. I want to be factual because the next few days are interesting, and I want to talk a little bit from the personal perspective because my Mayan birthday is in 2 days. It's on Friday, which is also summer solstice. It would be the lightest, longest day of the year on June 21st. And that day is a portal day. So for anyone, it's going to have a lot of depth of resonance. It's going to feel like a gateway day. And it's a blue storm day. And blue storm days are, again, about transformation. Cathartic change. It's a catalyzing influence. It gets things really in the pressure cooker and they explode. It wants to take what is muted and overcast, you know, gray, turgid, not a lot of movement. It wants to coalesce all that by, you know, pressurizing it until the water molecules explode and there's fire in the sky, and then there's this outpouring of rain, almost a deluge. And then after all of that release and all of that alchemy of change from something being a cloud formation to pounding water on the planet's surface, after that, we get sun. And sun then represents the ability to see, the warmth, reassurance, sun fortifies us and gives us clarity. It is enlightenment. And so having said all of it that way, like a lyricism, let me just show you the days that are to come. This red electric earth day on Wednesday is actually about the movement of earth more than the solidity of earth. Red earth is about tectonic activity, earthquakes, the way the earth is really alive and has depth. And it's about the earth moving through the sky in its orbit. So the reason I mention that, why is it like that? One reason is because the hieroglyph shows all that tectonic friction. It is the picture of an earthquake. And then I know that red earth days, the experience of it, what I see in people is that they really want to keep moving slow and steady. They love to travel. They love to get all over the globe. They love to be in flight or in a car ride on a long trip over highways and, you know, many stops over many days. That all sounds really good to red earth, because I think that red earth people are imitating the planet on its orbital around the sun. They want a cruise. They just want a smooth cruise. So red earth, however, is kind of solid, right? It's an element. So we can just say that, well, here we are, we're on earth, we're kind of checking in. And then on white mirror, white self-existing mirror, which is the next day, that would be Thursday, and that's June 20th. White mirror days are representing the human sacrifice ritual for the Maya. And like I said, I think of them also as like an overcast day when everything is really still and you can't see into the distance. You feel this opaque glaring that takes away perception. Big picture visions are muted. You're forced to see what's in front of you. You can't really see. You're forced to feel. You're forced to maybe experience nothing, which is almost a meditative state because there isn't this big color impulse that's drawing your attention to how the earth is multifaceted with all its jewels to gaze upon. It's all taken away and things are somewhat stark and definitely white. And white mirror, the word mirror is interpretation of obsidian. Obsidian is a pretty reflective surface in an indigenous world, so used for making mirrors, presumably. But obsidian was mostly the handheld obelisk that the priest used to cut out the human heart at the top of the pyramid, which was the primary or the most infamous way of human sacrifice in the Maya territories in the Mayan civilization. This day celebrates that. So we've been here before. We'll be here again. I can get really into it during the white mirror wave spell. But when you have white mirror days, I want to encourage you. I'm imploring you. Allow the sacrifice that happens to be sacred offering of self instead of a place of martyrdom, a place of like, I'm being, you know, killed, I'm being hurt, I am losing everything that I need. Those white mirror moments, they usually do happen once within the white mirror day. You see it, you're like, ah, the parking ticket, ah, the car crash, ah, I, you know, overdrew my funds. Those are benign examples. Because I don't want you to think that something terrible is going to happen on a white mirror day. But the thing that feels like, God, that's feels unfair. Feels like something is being taken away from me. Ow. It's, you know, a better example that I think happens pretty frequently, at least in my life or those around me, is just being really disappointed in a relationship, romantic or otherwise, where you just feel like you take a hard hit because somebody makes us suffer, whether it's intentional or not. Unintentional is usual. That's usually how we hurt each other, is by accident or unconsciousness. But that feeling of heartbreak or, I'm being stabbed in the heart, just in that action and that conversation and that experience with another, That is very White Mirror. And what I'm asking you to start to think about is, how does that kind of wounding make us stronger, redirect our attention to something bigger than ourselves? I mean, the thing about heartbreak, when it's really big, it's the breakup of a relationship, it's the death of someone we love, our hearts are shattered. Usually people can't function that well with everyday experience for a while, and they get bigger. They think about what's larger than their suffering because they have to, they're turning to it. And so I think a White Mirror Day has the same invitation in a very small package. That when you feel something is hurting or inviting loss, that you would respond by saying, yeah, but without that that's being taken away from me, whether it's comfort, whether it's finances, whether it's a connection to another, it's being taken away for the moment in this one gesture, I can use that space to find my creator. Not just the one that made me, but the one that's sort of parentally there, helping me, inspiring me. Maybe it's an angel. You know, we each have our assumptions about our higher power. So that's what White Mirror Days are great for. Seeing that on the other side of loss and sacrifice is a sacred relationship to the divine. So now I want to talk about Friday. Friday, Blue Overtone Storm. A portal day. We haven't had one in a long time, not since the beginning, the first day of the white wind wave spell. White magnetic wind was a portal, and blue overtone storm is a portal, and there are none in between. So we're ready for one. We're ready for that door to open. And blue storm, I've mentioned that overtone just to speak to how we're moving through our 13-day wave spell. Blue eagle, overtone would be the fifth day, and how I see it is this. I see it that the overtone day is when a wave really starts to take shape. If we're looking out at an ocean, we're using that as our metaphor, which I almost always exclusively use that as the metaphor for wave shapes, the ocean. And you can feel like the currents, and you can feel the swell of a wave that's forming under the surface. I'm mostly thinking about the ocean if we were out floating in the middle of it, not the edges of the ocean, although that's where I grew up. So when I think about that pretty shape of a wave that builds to a crest, I'm thinking about something that you could surf. But out in the middle of the ocean is where I like to think about the undercurrents of waves, where waves begin. And so I think that it really takes four stages, the four tones, the first four tones for a wave to break the surface. And so what I mean by that, since this isn't literal, you know, it's not an alternate descriptor of the ocean or the waveform, but what I mean by that, again, imaginally or spiritually, meaning I'm calling to the spirit world and this is the answer I get. This is my spiritual explanation, is that we need to learn to feel or honor our sensitivity, that we know something's going on even if we can't see it. That in the unseen world, i.e. beneath the surface here, where we're floating, where we're watchfully gazing, we can tell something's happening. And yet we can't see it, which is what makes it a little bit complex. At the beginning of the wave spell, complex things happen. We find our challenge. We find our purpose. We see that as sort of a dance. There's our purpose that we call in on the first day. We find it in our laps. There's our challenge, and that's within our purpose. We don't even know what it is, but it starts to show itself on the second day. Third day, we ask, how can I best be of service? Fourth day, we say, what form specifically will my service take? And that's all a really strong inquiry of details, like things are coming at me, but I'm not sure what it means, and I'm asking for more insight and help, and getting my base together here, my blueprint, my kind of like grounding zone before I launch. All of that is vaguely under the water, but we feel it. And then on the overtone day, in my opinion, the wave makes it really clear that it's surging towards the sky, and it's picking up speed, and it's got a lot of force. It's moving toward the sky with power, and that's what the overtone is. It's empowerment. How do I best empower myself? Because I'm a growing wave. This is my experience. This is me, one little wave in the collective. We're all little waves. We have our individual journeys, each wave spell, and then we have our collective journeys. But you'll find yourself empowered, and you'll find the Blue Eagle wave spell empowered, because the overtone day of a wave spell references something to do with Blue Eagle. We're getting big picture viewpoints, and we're in our heads. And what else about Blue Eagle can I just touch upon? The really obvious things to me are, it can be a bit unfeeling. We don't have to grapple with a lot of feelings in Blue Eagle. We have to occupy our thoughts. I don't think it's necessary that we make an effort to be more feeling to balance out the eagle. No, it's the eagle's time. The eagle is not heartless, but the eagle is just really adapted to being in flight and take advantage of this opportunity to have the view from above, the view of your own life, visioning for yourself. It's like the visioning board moment of the Zolk'in. And it's also a time to distance yourself from your everyday functioning. I think that for each of us, if we're sort of paying attention to this larger inquiry, we're going to get information like, in a big picture way, you need to make this change. Like, I feel like I'm supposed to eat differently. Not like a bird, but more like, yeah, okay, you've been cruising along without any thought about that. And the big picture view of Blue Eagle for you, Lisa Star, is eat differently. And then I take that in and go, aha, I wonder if I'll be able to. Because you get the big picture view, and then somehow you land, or you give it to the creatures that are on the ground, and you can't control what happens there. But you can get the visioning right now. So once again, back to Blue Overtone Storm. It's my Mayan birthday. Each of us has one every 260 days. It is basically a reconsideration over and over again of our time in gestation, because every 260 days is like completing another cycle in utero. So it's an honoring of our relationship to the feminine that brings us to life in the womb. So we call it the divine feminine. It can be your own mother, but I don't think that that's the real signifier. I think it's rather that we had that strong bond with our physical parent, but we emulate that in life by kind of thinking of it as maybe more a godlike female that we stay connected to every 260 days in this way, and then we rebirth. What I want you to know is that when you have your Mayan birthday, and you should know when it is, you need to know. You can do that at resonanttruth.com. You might feel squeezed at the end, like, I can't stay in this womb any longer. It's too tight. I'm too big. I can't move. And that sense of pressure or discomfort, or maybe just dissatisfaction, frustration, that's perfect for pre-rebirth. And so is coming through the birth canal again. Again, always metaphor with me, always, always metaphor. Never trying to convince you to be as visual as I am, but I cannot deny how visual I have become around this stuff. Better to be visual and have these images that I sort of trot out than to just make stuff up. I'm trying to hold some integrity here. So the visual is that prior to your Mayan birthday, you're recreating birth. It doesn't have to be your original birth, but any birth, a birth is happening. And so mine is on 2 days away. And I guess I feel perhaps that I'm heading right into that moment of transition where I'm going to be really tightened down and squeezed and then come out. And what I have seen with other people's Mayan birthdays and my own is that it is a little dicey the weeks leading up to it. And then afterwards, there's kind of a release. There's a sense of, okay, well, that push is over, and here I am, kind of new again, but it's time to sort of start from the beginning, so things are simple and spacious. And I think it's always helpful for you to know that all of this talk from me comes from the essence of being a blue overtone storm. So I'm trying to empower myself, and I'm trying to model that for you. Be that in your midst. How do you best empower yourself? That's important to me. And I'm also a catalyst, and I am trying to get us all back to clear skies and enlightenment through releasing the pressure of all the obfuscation and denial that makes it impossible for us to see around us. All this density of water in the air, I want to light it on fire and then release it. And I don't mind if there's a lot of emotion. You know, when the rain falls, I don't mind if that's crying. I'm like pretty much of a crier, and I don't care who sees me cry. I have so much self-confidence about crying being a really good way to let things go that it's not something I try to keep under wraps. So that's kind of a storm. And then finally, we'll have a yellow Sunday, yellow rhythmic sun. That'll be Saturday, 6/22, the day after solstice, the day where we start tiny increments of shorter days turning towards darkness. It'll take a long time, but I think it's going to feel, because it's the weekend version of the solstice, that yellow rhythmic sun is going to be a great day for solstice celebration and honoring the light. And there's priesthood that happens on a yellow Sunday. Each one of us is, you know, really in close approximation to the Godhead of the sun itself. And so we... priestly to me means, you know, that we understand the language of the sun and that we're good emissaries of the Godhead, whatever it is, Hunabku to the Maya. You have your own orientation, but that we're good disciples of that. We're pretty pure, and we have a lot of power. I don't mean ego power, but I mean solar power, meaning we're infused with a lot of power. We can be on fire. We can be bright. We can have light emanating from us in our energy field on a yellow Sunday, a yellow rhythmic Sunday. And so the last thing that I like to do is to talk about why it's hard. I want to intersperse that with just notice that the crystal moon, we're finishing now in the southern yellow week of ripening. I said ripening, and I think that's a gentle kind of movement compared to transforming, even compared to initiating. I think of fruit. It just sits there and this change happens. It's a subtle change. It's a sweet change. And it's a finishing phase. And that's what we have going on. And the crystal moon is very cooperative. Remember, it's the resolution time. We are coming to the conclusion of the story arc of our year. The cosmic moon of 28 days long. It's going to be something else. And I'll talk more about that as we approach it. But this last week is really the finishing touches of the year. The last components of the story arc, and I guess that's all we can say about it. It's not transformative exactly. It's much more like just making sure the transformation finishes smoothly and settles down into the ground in the south, the earth. But the hard part of things, I just have to speak from the personal place again, because I want you to know your own personal astrology, and I want to find a way that even if you're anonymously listening, you can find your own personal truths from what I talk about. You can use this as an example and explore your own parallels. You know, my mother is a blue eagle, and to go through her wave spell is to experience stuff that comes up around being the daughter of my mother, no matter what age. It's not really that intense for me, but I think that's the point that you need to know if you have anyone in your life, current partner, ex-partner, children, parents, you know, those figureheads for karma. That is crystal. That is blue eagle. that is any of these days that I've talked about, red earth, white mirror, blue storm, yellow sun. I just had to throw that in there because I am, I'm living through a couple of wave spells that have really potent karmic family bearing on me. White wind was a relative who was abusive to me. And then blue eagle is my mom. And that can be contextualized also as a pretty challenging relationship. And so I'm way adult. I have children of my own that are adult, but I can still notice that these invitations of joining in the energy of people that have been possibly adversarial or just really heavy karmic teachers, that there is a way that I am forced to face those feelings again and get myself cleared of them. Facing something means coming to conclusion with it to me. So we face things in wave spells, and you know, yours might not be personal. You just have to face blue eagle and all that that represents, but you face it. And then the fraught part of it, the challenge that hurts in you, is transformed. There is a change that makes for more space and more peace. That's true of every spiritual process, every spiritual path. So please don't think that I'm trying to offer you a new invention. I just want to point out how the passage of time and following sacred totems that come out of the Maya can also be psychological, and it can also be like liberation from energies that have felt tortuous. And that seems like enough about what's hard for now. You could feel, as I said, hard stuff on white mirror. Hold on to your contact, to your higher power. And you could feel hard stuff, believe me, as a blue overtone storm being. You could have a hard day that day. And look up birthdays. Do that at resonanttruth.com. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in La Keshe.